Tuesday. Bonjour. We have a packed show for you today. Later on, senators in Ottawa are discussing getting rid of the second-generation cutoff in the Indian Act. But really, should there be any cutoff at all? That and more coming up. But first, life is not easy if you live in a food desert. In Saskatchewan's two largest cities, there are food deserts. Multiple neighborhoods with no grocery store, leaving residents, especially those with lower incomes, without much choice but to walk or ride a bike in sweltering summer heat or dangerously cold winter days. And so nutrition becomes a huge problem. I'm certainly oversimplifying it, but you get what I mean. Now, on many First Nations, there is also a food desert. Band members may have to drive or hitch a ride to the closest town or city to get food, especially if they want fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked goods, which we all deserve. But unlike the bigger cities, where the practice of community-owned stores only reaches tepid success, the chief and council of Beardies and Okemos's First Nation near Duck Lake may have a winner on their hands. Chief Edwin Ananas and his council recently announced that the Cree Nation is embarking on a new venture, the construction of its own grocery store. It'll be located just off Highway 11, about 25 minutes south of Prince Albert.
It's something that's been needed for years, and I think we're going down the right path.
The store will serve close to 2,000 members on the Cree Nation alone, as well as the surrounding area, including the town of Duck Lake. Anada says having quality groceries close to home is huge, especially for members who have a hard time finding transportation. They could always transport elders and others into town, be it Prince Albert or Duck Lake, but having a store in your own community? Well,
it is an issue nowadays where transportation is hard for some people. Well, it's hard to get to town, and then we have the services to bring them to town to provide them with quality groceries. Having that available to them right here at home is something that's huge for us.
And if they do stop at the store, Chief Ananas says they should find all they need.
We're working on providing everything, okay, from deli all the way to fresh home-baked breads, and of course our traditional bannocks. Cool. Right? So we're hoping to provide everything that's needed, not only for your normal home, but businesses.
Dennis Esperance is Beardies and Okemos' president and CEO for its business arm, the Willow Cree Development Corporation. He says this is just another step in the community's economic development plan to become more self-reliant.
In terms of the financing, we work closely with the nation, the First Nation, on that part. For our role as a development corporation was to do all the necessary groundwork in terms of preparing the... First of all, getting the property, the land, and then working with on a community development plan on what would serve best on this property for that will benefit not only our nation and the town of Duck Lake, but surrounding communities as well. Mm-hmm. The biggest opportunity that we see from an economic perspective is to make it a one-stop shop for business and the travelers that are going through our, so we have a gas bar across the road. This is the first business that we're looking at on this piece of property that now the grocery store. So we're looking, for the people that are, traveling to the north and to the west, for tourism and their daily travels, so they can buy their groceries here that they need to go to their camps in the north and fishing and their hunting, and also their fuel, their tobacco, and anything convenience goods that they require. So this we're making this to make it a one-stop shop.
And location. Situated just off Highway 11. That means in the summer, many thousands of tourists will drive by each day heading to Lake Country. Esperanza says there are more opportunities for economic growth in the area, including the potential for some eateries.
Now we have this property and the one right across the road at Blackhawks Travel Center. So we're looking at future opportunities here. We definitely there's there's, you know, we're trying to fill the gaps that have been left vacant by the town of Duck Lake, which is our neighbor. We're working closely with the leadership of the town, and so we're not working in silo here. We're, you know, it takes a team effort to make this a successful business venture.
Adam Unger and Aaron Fair from Zacks Building Group were on hand for the groundbreaking ceremony recently. Zacks is a family-owned company. It operates out of Hague, and it'll be the one constructing the new store.
Currently, it's sitting at about 12,000 square foot building. It's going to be a grocery store. It's going to have rental units for smaller businesses that can operate out of it as well.
Esperanza says it's too early to assess the total cost of the project. No completion date has been set yet either. But when the new grocery store does open, it's expected to provide a minimum of 40 jobs to local residents. Family of the late Fred Sisakamoose and members of the Attakakoop First Nation were invited to Chicago last week for a very special celebration. It marked the 72nd anniversary of when Chief Thunderstick, as he was first called, first stepped onto the ice in the National Hockey League in 1953. And that, of course, was 72 years ago on Thursday. It was also the first time ever that an Indigenous man played in the Professional Hockey League. Prior to their game against the Seattle Kraken, the Chicago Blackhawks honored Sisakamoose with a ceremonial puck drop in the United Center Arena. Now, since Fred passed away due to COVID in 2020, his son Neil has been proudly carrying his banner. But he couldn't go. He's fighting health issues, including a recent surgery.
Chicago celebrating their one of the original six, and this year's their 100-year anniversary. And they reached out in the spring and towards late summer, and they told me that they were looking for a date to honor Fred as one of the first Indigenous hockey players, like full-blooded, they call it, they say, hockey player that played in the NHL, and they wanted to give him a night. And then it just slowly evolved into a big celebration for a week. They selected November 20th, 2025, because my dad, Fred, his very, very first official NHL game is November 20th, 1953, against Boston Bruins. So that's when he seen the bright lights of a stadium, and his first time on NHL ice was November 20th.
What a night that would have been back in the day. But Fred wasn't able to really share it with anyone, says his son, Neil.
November 20th, that's his very first game. He couldn't get a message through to anyone in Debden, Saskatchewan, to phone there and get a hold of his mom and dad and anyone in Sandy Lake. They called it then, and just get the message through that I'm playing tonight, so everyone would know, but no one knew. He said, so that was a sad part about my trip. He said, there, I couldn't tell anyone.
But last Thursday, November 20th, a part of Fred Sisakamoose was on the ice in Chicago. His headdress. PA Now's Nigel Maxwell talked with Neil before the date.
We sent it on a bus, and he'll go on the ice now. That's part of him now, and he'll be on the ice on November 20th. And it's I don't think Chicago knows how big, you know, they're trying to understand the mass about, you know, what he represented. You know, he only played, you know, 12 games, and but he had such a huge impact on everything. Like, I'm just, you know, people trying to recover from drugs, you know, living healthy lifestyles, you know, teaching, mentoring, you know, sports, you know, being a good cheerleader, being a good volunteer, like small town, small community reserve values about just helping each other. And he lived in the reserve all his life.
Gabriel Michael, Fred's grandson, ended up dropping the puck, along with the Takakoop chief, Larry Ahenikew, and Chief Tanya Stone from Mosquito Grizzly Bears Head Lean Man First Nation. But they weren't the only ones. A bus was filled with Attakakoop band members and family who mixed with the Chicago Blackhawks on and off the ice throughout the memorable week. Coming up, Brenda Reynolds from Fishing Lake is an amazing woman who was just recently honored by the United Nations with the coveted Nelson Mandela Award. I'm David Curtin. This is Meeting Ground. A Saskatchewan woman who has been a long-time advocate for Indigenous rights, mental health, and trauma-informed care has won a prestigious award from the United Nations. Brenda Reynolds is one of two people to be given the Nelson Mandela Award. Now, it's only handed out every 5 years to recipients who reflect the South African leader's legacy. And it is given to one man and one woman. One of them must be from Africa.
It still is really unbelievable that I have been awarded a prize after an individual that I admire for who he was as an individual and also the work that he has done.
Got a chance to meet Brenda Reynolds last week. She was speaking at a homelessness conference in Saskatoon, and she tells her story so well. You're going to hear it all next week here on Meeting Ground. You'll hear how she became first known for advocacy in 1988 when she helped 17 teenage girls at the residential school at the George Gordon First Nation. They had all come to her saying that they had suffered sexual abuse. And that became the first residential school sexual abuse case to make the light in Saskatchewan. And it was the trigger that has Canada on the slow road towards truth and reconciliation. Brenda Reynolds has also developed a health support program from that experience. It provides culturally grounded mental health care for residential school survivors and their families. It's the first of its kind in the world. Breaking new ground is still not in Reynolds' past, though. She is the first Canadian and the first Indigenous woman in the world to get the Mandela Award. Reynolds says she has always seen a lot of parallels between South Africa and Canada. That has helped the award resonate with her. She's a status treaty member of the Fishing Lake Soto First Nation, given her inevitable position as a role model for younger women, especially those living on reserves like she has done. Reynolds has some words of advice based on her own childhood influences. Follow your curiosity is her message. Ask questions and learn, she says. Being a lifelong learner herself has been a valuable trait, one that she takes to heart pursuing her doctorate now in her 60s, and she's very close. She shares this 2025 United Nations Nelson Mandela Prize with Kennedy Odidi, who went from living on the streets at age 10 in Kenya to becoming one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in 2024. Like I said now, last week, Reynolds talked at a homelessness conference in Saskatoon. Her powerful words will be right here on Meeting Ground next week. In Ottawa, senators have passed sweeping amendments to a bill that would simplify the transfer of First Nations status between generations. Bill S-2, introduced in the Senate and supported by the Liberal government, was drafted to eliminate some gender inequities in the Indian Act and allow some 6,000 people to become eligible for First Nations status. But some senators and community leaders say it doesn't go far enough. Not at all. Senators have changed the legislation to remove what is known as the second generation cutoff, opting instead for a one-parent rule for the transmission of status. So here's how it goes. The second generation cutoff, which came from a 1985 amendment to the Indian Act, that prevents individuals from registering for status under the Indian Act if they have a parent or a grandparent who did not have status. It gets rid of that. The bill does not become law until it is passed in the House of Commons. Indigenous Services Minister Mandy Galmasti says her government continues to consult with First Nations on the issue, and many First Nations are hoping that she is being told that there doesn't need to be a cutoff at all in the Indian Act. The chief of the James Smith Cree Nation says he's offended by Ottawa's requirement that promotional materials for Orange Shirt Day events funded by the federal government must carry government branding. James Smith Cree Nation recently received roughly $6,700 from the Federal Canadian Heritage Department to hold events in the community, including a memorial walk and a sweat ceremony. But as a condition of that funding, the First Nations required to put Government of Canada branding on promotional materials. That's standard practice for projects paid in part by Canadian Heritage. But Chief Constant says it defies the spirit of reconciliation for the federal government to force his community to publicly thank Ottawa for funding to memorialize the grim legacy of the residential school system it helped to create. A Canadian Heritage spokesperson says all funding recipients are required to acknowledge where the money came from, and the department will continue to shape its actions in a sensitive manner. In Winnipeg, Melissa Robinson, whose cousin was killed, says the release last week of the man who killed her and two other women is another outrage from a justice system that victimizes Indigenous women and girls. Sean Lamb pleaded guilty to manslaughter in the 2012 deaths of two other Indigenous women, Carolyn Sinclair and Lorna Blacksmith. He was sentenced to 20 years. Earlier this month, he received statutory release after serving two-thirds of his sentence. Melissa Robinson's cousin, Morgan Harris, was one of Lamb's victims. Robinson says she would like to see consecutive life sentences in any case where someone is charged with multiple counts of murder. In other words, you can't just put them all together. She says the families of victims must be at the center of the justice system, and killers like Lamb should not be able to return home while the families are left to deal with the fallout. That's it for this show. Don't forget, Meeting Ground can be heard every Saturday at 5, every Sunday at 12, or you can find the podcast at ckom.com or cjme.com. Brenda Reynolds, you'll hear her powerful words next week, right here on Meeting Ground.